be a scripture. Could be any number of things. I'm just going to read a short passage, The Nuts and Bolts of Christmas. This is the angel appearing to the shepherds. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So, I'm going to open it up for you to come and share as the Spirit moves you.
I'll go first if I can stay seated. This year, for some reason, the innkeeper has convicted my heart, and Barry alluded to it a little bit in his sermon 2 weeks ago. I've watched pageants numerous times, and it always depicts the innkeeper as this burly, rude, unkind man. And I remember years ago, we saw a pageant, and the innkeeper was kind. And as the music played, the innkeeper was like up front just expressing compassion to Mary and Joseph and just being really kind. And then the door closed and they went off to the stable. And you saw a lady running to the stable with cloths and a basin of water. And I just really think she helped to deliver Jesus that night. And I don't know, that just stuck with me. And so I'm just hoping this Christmas that I'm more like the innkeeper, that's kind and compassionate. Even though when I sat in the ER with Samuel for 4 hours and I heard the verdict, I basically wanted to tell God, I have no room. There's no room in my schedule for this. There's no room to put a man that needs around-the-clock care into my life. When the phone rang and it was the lady asking, could you please take 2 Japanese boys? No, we don't have room. There's no room. How often do I say that? And don't seek God. Don't listen for his voice to speak to my heart. And that's been my conviction, and I hope I can learn from it.
I'll actually go next because I'm cheating also and staying in my seat. But I should have shared actually 2 weeks ago, but I didn't want to take too much time 2 weeks ago during prayer time to share. But I had shared 2 weeks ago that I was supposed to be going to Georgia to see my grandfather, and that, you know, my prayer would be that he would be able to live long enough for me to get down there. In addition to that, I was wondering where the money was going to come from to do this trip, because my budget is so tight that there's not room for even a day trip half the time, let alone a whole week trip to a distance 12 hours or so away. And so I was praying about it, and I felt I was supposed to go. I wasn't sure where, you know, it was going to come from. I was tightening my budget. And at work, every year we get bonuses in December, and the bonuses vary because it just depends on how our year went. I knew they were coming in December, which would be after my trip to Georgia. And so I thought, okay, well, I can just budget and, you know, make do and then use that money later. Well, this year, our CFO decided to give it to us early, very early. His intent was to give it to early enough that people could shop for Black Friday this year. But my intent was totally not to use it for shopping, but to totally go to Georgia. So I just felt so relieved when I heard the whispers that it was in our bank accounts, and I checked. And not only was it there in plenty of time to use, but it was well more than I had expected to be in there. So God totally blessed in that aspect, as we talked this morning about not, you know, having faith in God or, you know, trusting God to answer your prayers. He definitely answered in gracious ways at that point. In the meantime, my grandfather passed away on the 23rd, so I was not able, did not need to go to Georgia. So at that point, then another door opened in a way that I could actually use that money to pay on some bills that needed to be paid and some that were caught up. So once again, the Lord answered my prayers and showed me a different route than what I thought I was going. I was saddened, of course, by my grandfather's passing, and especially at the holidays. My family seems to do that a lot at Thanksgiving, it seems like the last couple of years. And but I actually felt at peace also with him going, and I was not totally sad or bummed that I'm not in Georgia, even though I have a week of not sure what I'm going to do for a week. But it is kind of nice not to be working either 50, 60 hours a week for this next week. So the Lord has shown me a lot in the last couple weeks that he does answer prayers, of course, in his timing, and even ones that we don't think he's going to answer, or maybe might answer in a different way and show you a different direction.
I just want to share sort of, it's more of a thought, but sort of, I personally sort of struggle to have, like, consciously think about having a, like, worshipful attitude and just, yeah, with the things that I do, like, even choir, which, Miss, you know that I do, a lot of our songs, it's like, these are great worshipful songs, and I'm like, oh, this has a great meaning, but I don't actually, like, worship when I'm singing them always, and so that's just something I found I need to think about. And I know my choir director, especially last year, was just amazed me. Every single week he'd come in and was like, oh, this is so great. He's like, this is just, we're just praising God right now. And it was really cool to see that. And that just especially encouraged me and showed me that I need to be working on that. So I guess, yeah, it's more just a thought, having more worshipful attitudes outside of church.
I think the Lord has put in a verse, I keep going back to this verse this morning, and it's Ephesians 3, chapter 6, verse 16. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. And that's, I just keep going back to this verse all morning, so.
No, I turned 60 a couple of weeks ago, and while I was driving to Florida, I was just reflecting on my life and say, you know, I'm really blessed. I never thought at 60 I was going to have so much, not only physically, but spiritually and in every other way. I mean, I've been so blessed, and I'm very thankful for this church and all of you guys that who had encouraged us, and we have learned a lot in this church, and I'm thankful for our leaders here. You guys are really godly people, and I can look up to all of you and the worship leaders too here. I mean, everybody, even the younger people. And when I was, I've been very, very blessed. And when I reflect on my life and where I am right now, and I know I have a long way to learn. I think God is not done with me yet, but I feel like I have grown and I have learned a lot since I'm part of this church, and I'm very glad to be here, and I appreciate everybody here.
Well, as you know, I about 2 weeks ago, I had a cataract removed from my eye, and what a difference the world is. The blues are bluer and the reds are redder, big time. And you lose that perspective over 20, 30 years, and so you don't know that it's gone. But when I came back from an ophthalmologist on Wednesday, that's okay, I can't spell it either, ophthalmologist. It's a doctor that looks into your eye with a telescope. That's what it feels like. When he was looking into my eye, he said, awesome. He said, perfect. I said, Doc, what makes you, why are you so excited about the human eye? And this is his response. He said, we don't realize what God created when he made an eye. I thought, wow, that is so true. So I got to thinking about that. And as he was looking at my eye, he said, yeah, there's a scar. And there's the lens that I put in is exact right position. You didn't knock it out by rubbing your eye with your knuckle, which he's warned me not to do. And I got to think about the Christmas story. You know, there was times when there appeared to the angels a multitude. There appeared. I think that was seeing. There was a time when they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see. Or there was another time when the angels or the shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night. I suppose that involved eyes. And so when I thought about how much we take our eyes for granted. And we see things the way that it just happens for us. And so there's, in my case, there were some things I wasn't seeing. And we want to make a spiritual application to that. What are some things that I'm not seeing in right now, or in my life, or in our life? And then when the doc said, yeah, there's a scar, that's where he made an incision to put the lens in. You know, my life is different because there's scars on somebody's hands and feet. Big time.
Thinking about Christmas, I think this year is what stuck out to me is Mary's response when the angel came to her. You know, she was betrothed to Joseph. Her life at that point just looked like, you know, she had everything planned out a year and to be betrothed, and the angel came to her and basically upset her world, because but what she said is, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. And she knew Joseph may not believe her, her friends, her family. She knew she could be stoned to death if people found out she was, you know, when people found out she was pregnant. But yet she just said, you know, I'm the Lord's servant. And I just think so many times, you know, just even simple things can come into our lives, or at least for me, that we weren't planning on. It may just be a change of plans. It may be something bigger. And how often do I just, you know, feel like my world is thrown into a tizzy and I don't want it to happen that way? And she just, the challenge for myself this year is just to be a little bit more like Mary and say, you know, I'm your servant. If this is how you want this plan or whatever we were planning to do or what to happen, then, you know, let it be that way and realize God is in control.
I wasn't sure if I was going to share this morning because mine's not what the Lord has done. It's about what the Lord is going to do. Wednesday, I got a text from Karen, or teller at the bank. She said that Christian, our current manager, had a telephone interview to do the position he actually wants to do. Not sure if everybody knows this, but Christian became a manager in April. And I applied for that position also. He got it, and they made him be a manager before he could go to the business side to do business, work with the businesses. So this position opened up in our area. So Christian did a telephone interview, and on Friday I stopped in to talk to him about something else, and then he shared with me what was going on, and that he'll keep me in the loop. He's basically been... Well, he's supposed to have been showing me the ropes so that when he goes, I can step in, but I'm not guaranteed the position. There are going to be other people applying for it, including one person at our branch now. He told me that he's going to be applying for it. But all of this being said, he would start second. He would start the beginning of January with a new position. I wasn't sure if I'd be back at that point. I see Dr. Ramsey the 21st, and I'm pretty confident if I tell him I need to go back to work to try this, that he will allow me to go back to work. So my thoughts are right now to go back to work on the 22nd, and there's going to be interview process again for anybody who wants to be a manager once that opens up there for a branch, if Christian gets this. But Christian said that there's a lot of green lights for him to be going forward with this. Basically, Karen texted me Wednesday. Friday, I talked to Christian. I know it's in the Lord's hands. I know that in his timing, I will be a manager. Thursday scripture for verse of the day with Max Licato said, whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. That'll be one of the biggest challenges once I do become a manager, as I've seen so many do things integrity-wise that is not with integrity because of what the bank expects of the branch. And I want my integrity to be there. I want to see that the Lord at work and to give him the glory for for how well our branch does. But then Friday, and anybody who knows me knows it to be quiet. But Friday's verse was, "The Lord will fight for you." You need only to be still. Friday, on Saturday morning, I woke up at like 5 and couldn't get back to sleep thinking about this, just going through my mind. But I know that I'm going to be still, no matter what the outcome. I know it's the Lord's timing, and I will be at peace.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you, everyone that shared. I'm going to wrap this up with a scripture out of Luke 2. It's about an older Jewish man named Simeon who lived in Jerusalem. It says in verse 25 that the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he had this promise from the Father that he was going to see the Messiah before he leaves this world. And I know there's some of you out there waiting on promises to be fulfilled as well. And Judy, even with yourself, I thought, well, that's good because I was. And so just know the Lord is faithful to his own. And don't let go of those things he has put on your heart. And Simeon never let go of that. And then in verse 27, it says this. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. What does that mean? Came by the Spirit into the temple. Somehow the Holy Spirit said, now's the time to get into that temple. He was being led by the Spirit to be at that place at that time. And when the parents brought in the Christ child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your words, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I sense the Lord was saying, don't give up on what the Holy Spirit has promised to do in your life. He's going to fulfill it in his time, his way, and he will move with you and through you to accomplish it all. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these testimonies, for these your people sharing your goodness to them and your faithfulness. We thank you that we are not alone in this world. You have given us a part of yourself to live in us, called your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your role in our lives today. Help us, as Joanne mentioned, to just be ready to have our worlds changed and allow you to do that and to move with you, so that we can be in the right place at the right time to be a blessing to others and for ourselves to be blessed. So I thank you for each person that you have brought here this morning, Lord. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for the purpose for every one of their lives and for your hand upon them. And Lord, for those things you have spoken to their hearts, we thank you that you're going to bring those about in your time. So Lord, help us be faithful in the meantime, doing your work, and then one day we will see with our eyes the answers to those things you have put on our hearts. And so, Lord, help us to be a light in our worlds this week, sharing the good news about Jesus. We pray this in your name.